I think I see a man with hooks. Is that a sign?
Hey guys, welcome back to Spooky Tuesday, a weekly podcast where we're breaking down all of our favorite slashers, thrillers, monster movies, and black comedies on the new scariest day of the week. I'm Sydney Thompson.
I'm Monica Height.
And I'm Chelsea Death.
And babies, it's back. Final Destination Summer, the second installment.
Yeah.
By the way, just a word to the wise, I recently bought an air horn because I wanted to make the air horn sound real. You know, I didn't want to use the app for my roommate James's birthday. Terrible. Sounds horrible in person. Very bad, painful, scary. Saying it yourself is better. Just a little PSA to start this out. But back to the task at hand. Final Destination, it's back, and we're here with the second installment. And Jesus fucking Christ, this movie is complicated. But
they're really doing a lot.
There's a lot going on, and I was not meant. I was like, this will be silly. This will be fun. And I was like, oh my God, I gotta really pay attention. But anyway, this is second installment, came out in 2003, and here is the little IMDb summary. It's a longer one. Buckle up, Kimberly. Oh. Has a premonition of an accident killing multiple people, including her and her friends. She blocks the cars behind her on the ramp, and as a police trooper arrives, the accident happens. Death is stalking this group of survivors. Wordy, a little wordy, I would say.
Yeah, you usually get like one sentence, you know what I mean? Sometimes it is kind of a complicated sentence. This is like three sentences for sure.
It's three sentences, and I feel like we could have lost the second one completely.
That's a lot of sentences for a Final Destination movie.
Yeah, they really, I mean, I guess this is only the second one. It's not as established as it is now to us in our cultural lexicon, but I really feel like they could have just been like, it's another Final Destination movie. You get it.
This time,
you know,
with
what we're
logs.
Doing here. Yeah.
This
remember
one
the plane,
that will star
now logs.
You for the rest of your life.
Yeah. I mean, that is the enduring legacy of this one, because I don't really think anything else from this one made that much of an impact necessarily. But the logs in the beginning. I'd never seen this one before until just now. I knew about the logs, and I knew about Clear in the hospital. And that was all that I knew, because I think I had looked that up at some point maybe, or I had seen like just a little bit on TV.
Watch that video I watched, which was every single Final Destination kill compilation?
Maybe no, I haven't, because then I would have known a lot more about this movie. But I just feel like the cultural impact other than the logs was low, except obviously this movie also inspired The Butterfly Effect, which came out 1 year later.
Oh, of
love
course.
The Butterfly Effect.
Of
yeah.
course it did.
That's yeah, yeah, yeah. Words.
That's a very obvious. But this movie, it starts out really strong, I would say. I forgot that AJ Cook could be brunette. Because
is she allowed? Is that legal?
I was like, what? This is obscene. But she looks adorable as a brunette. There's
Clear
also,
can be the only blonde. I'm sorry.
But she's a blonde now, but like she wasn't a blonde for the whole like first like whole movie for the whole first movie. So I'm shook. I can't
yeah,
handle
I mean,
that she's blonde.
Not to jump around too much, but the fact that she's like, don't bring your cell phones or any chemicals or anything into my hospital room, but I'm regularly bleaching my hair. and also I have a little TV control panel in there. Like, that doesn't make sense. But you know, she's there voluntarily, so I guess she can leave to go to her salon appointment every 2 weeks if she wants.
That just seems like such a risk, and that is like such a good point, Chelsea. As someone who just watched, this is very personal, I just watched Final Destination 2 just before this, and as I watched it, I bleached my pubes so I could dye them pink. And it was a dangerous scenario. I mean, many things could have gone wrong. Many things did go wrong. Don't tell my roommates. I got pink dye on the white counter and it won't come off. Like,
and James, that's just do me. Not listen to this podcast.
Don't listen, you guys. That was a joke.
I dropped some on the floor and it immediately stayed the floor. It's coming up.
Pink will do that to you.
Yeah. Whoopsies. I'm a novice. But anyway,
we're a pube friendly podcast. Okay.
Yeah. It's not
no, everyone needed to know.
Can you imagine if you'd fried your whole bush off though? You'd be so sad.
You would have been.
You'd be so sad.
Well, I've done this. This is the third time I've done this. So I am a professional.
I'm an expert at pubes.
And I used Olaplex. So it's actually very, very, very healthy now.
Can Olaplex give you cancer? Didn't I read that right?
Why would you say that?
Why would you say that? Do Chelsea and I both use Olaplex as of
no before? I don't use it. I'm safe.
Okay, fuck, well, bye. It was nice to know you. This is my final destination moment.
But Monica, if you fried off your pubes, we could go on our pube growing journey together.
I would. Don't even say that. That's like my worst nightmare. Like, I would like love to go on any journey with you, but not that one, because I don't want to suffer the loss first. Anyway, we're talking about this movie called Final Destination.
Yeah.
and just imagine how much fun they would have had at Daytona, you know, which is what they were going to
do. Second, I was like, what are you talking about?
That's where Kimberly and all of her friends were headed. They were going to Daytona. They had a shit ton of weed. The boys were there. The girls were there.
That was literally so much.
Yeah. It just was weekend. How long is Daytona?
Maybe they were going for the whole summer. I mean, who knows what their deal was, but I'd assume weed there.
My guess was they were probably going for like spring break.
Yeah. Well, okay. Why was thing, I if thinking you're a man, it was like Daytona 2000 or whatever? I was like, it's a car race. Is it not a car race?
Daytona 500.
500.
That is a car race. Yes.
I thought that it was for that.
But Daytona used to be a huge spring break like spot too. And that would be my guess that they were like college age, like going down to Daytona for spring break. And yeah, here's the thing. Yeah, if you are
college age. Yes, they're college age.
The men had the weed. I'm sorry. You need a lot of weed because ladies smoke for free. Therefore, men bring a lot of weed. You must provide weed for ladies. Like that is a man's job.
Thank you. Yeah. Thank you. Yeah, I was like so sure that this was a car thing. And it's very devastating to hear because I was like, isn't it such a cool through line that they talked about going to a car race in the second one? And then there's a car race like related death in one of the later movies. And it is not, that is not a connection. I was like, wow, I'm so smart. No, Daytona is a place, not a car race. And we'll be moving on.
Okay, well,
the car race
say-
is in Daytona, actually.
I'm figuring it all out now. It's making a lot of sense.
It is the summer because it's a year to the day from the 180 flight from the first movie. And I just Googled the ticket and that date was May 13th. So this is a little summer trip that they're doing. They must have just ended the semester or something. Oh, okay.
Good for them. Too bad they die.
Too bad. Although honestly, like I was not that I got really emotionally invested to any singular character in this movie. And I really struggled to remember anybody's names at any given moment. Although they all learned each other's names instantly in a flash, no troubles at all. Just immediately being like, Eugene, be careful. But yeah, I was happy to see them go. I was not attached to any of those characters, unfortunately for them.
Yeah. They don't really give you a lot of all the are kind of idiots, but there's so many iconic things that happen in like the first little bit of this movie. Can we talk about the titties? Like what?
Oh my god, titties!
Just for fun,
like the first five minutes of the movie.
Okay, wow, they won what things killing has.
Can I tell you that the titties also led me to think this was for Daytona 500? I was like, everyone's so excited to go to the car race. I don't know. I was like, people flash titties at car races sometimes. I've seen that in other films. And so I thought, I was like, this is for the car race. Anyway, it's not. It's not. I'm moving past it. We're fine. It's okay. But I loved that. I love that. There's just a little titty flash. It's beautiful. They really have it pretty heavy handed with the like hints this time around, though. Like the hints, I feel like for the plane crash in the first movie were like, you know, oh, the lyrics to this song are kind of spooky, or like, you know, like not.
John Denver died in a plane crash. Yeah.
But like, there's literally like, there's so many little things. I do love the guy driving the beer truck is here. I was like, okay, cool, cool. Good for you. We love a theme. But the little kid, the little toddler who like stares into Kimberly's eyes and is like truck and car crash, crash, crash. Like I was no, like,
and the demon. Bus of teenagers who apparently go to Mount Abraham or whatever the high school is from the first one. And they're like chanting pile up as they drive by.
Yeah, why? I was like, who, what is that a known chant? It's not like if they were pile, screaming,
like you, but here's the thing.
Screaming, plugs are up, I'd get it.
Oh yeah, get it. Pile up would be like a football game. Like you pile up on somebody, but if this is May.
That's a dog pile.
Not football season.
Yeah, I don't. I literally.
They wanted. They manifested that accident. We were just talking about manifesting. That one's on them. They did that.
Did they also use the whisper method?
Probably. Probably they were like, it's the, we had an emergency at our school last year to the day. Wouldn't it be so fun if there's another sexy little accident that took down a whole bus of kids?
That'd be so cool. I would love that. Yeah.
They wanted to be the main characters. That's what they were doing. They thought somehow if they could make the crash happen, they would get to be the stars of Final Destination too, but they weren't. I will say though, I thought it was a really interesting premise, with this movie. I feel like they were really trying to think of ways to differentiate themselves from the first film while also doing the exact same thing, obviously, because that's what you want in a Final Destination. But I thought it was really interesting, instead of having everyone be in like a collective thing where they know each other, being like, we're all strangers on this on-ramp. I thought that was a really interesting choice. Every other one is like they're all kind of there together. Like three is the roller coaster. I don't know what four is actually. Although maybe the race crash is the opening for that. I'm not sure.
I think so, because I haven't seen the fifth one.
One is a bridge and one is a race car.
Yeah, that's
and I
five.
Don't know which one is which.
The five is the bridge and they're like all on a bus together. The
no spoilers.
That's just the opening accident. But I think
surprised.
This is the only one where it's like a collection of strangers, which is interesting.
Yeah, I think it adds like a cool different dynamic, especially to break it up after the first one, because so much of that that they were forced to, like the whole thing with that was that they like hated each other afterwards because it was so weird, and now they like don't trust each other but they have to trust each other to survive. So I thought that was cool,
and it left some little mystery for the Justina Machado twist near the end. The pregnant lady.
Oh, I was like,
I love her, by the way. She was
great.
In that Netflix show, like One Day at a Time or something like that.
Yeah, something like that. I was gonna say Once Upon a Time, but that is not the same show. Although the brunette lady is the blue fairy. Yeah.
Kat was in that movie. I was trying to figure out
what's going on.
And the pregnant lady was in an episode of The Ghost Whisperer, which I have been watching. And if any of you follow my Instagram stories, know that I have been crying hysterically to like every single episode I've watched.
It is super emotional. I've watched like at least a season of that. I don't know when. It was like at least 10 years ago. It's incredible. Just saying, Jennifer loves you.
I'm on season three, and I have been nonstop bawling my eyes out.
Just
so
weeping over there.
Well, it's about death every fucking time. It's all about death and grief. It's not like spooky
and unfinished
Buffy
business.
The Vampire
Slayer.
Yeah. It's like I died and
everyone
I had
who's there
babies.
Has,
that
yeah, they've got regrets.
Like, yeah,
they've got final messages to pass on about how they loved somebody or whatever. Like that's yeah. I can see how that could come with some emotional baggage.
The other thing with Kat, the lady who plays Kat, Keegan Connor Tracy, I was like, I know her so from something. Like, I definitely have seen her in something else. I went through her entire thing. I did briefly watch Once Upon a Time, so I did see her in that, I guess. But you know what it is? She kind of looks like Selena Gomez. Then that's what it is. Oh. You look at her face, like it. Just look at her face and think about Selena Gomez and you'll be like, oh yeah, I see it. Something about the way her eyes are set in her face. It is so weird. Anyway, it's not important. But I was like staring for like 5 whole minutes before the podcast, like, where do I know you? It's just because you look like Selena Gomez. And I've seen this movie before. That's another thing that I know her from is this movie.
She was also in Bates Motel, which was good.
And I watched that, but I can't remember who.
She was the teacher in season one.
Oh, well, I watched season one, then that's definitely it. But also the Selena Gomez thing. Anyway. But another thing that I liked about this opening scene, obviously it's epic. Like, let's talk about the actual deaths.
They're so graphic.
They up the ante with the violence and the blood this time. You like actually see it in this movie. What's this one rated? Is this one R? It's got to be.
They got tits. All be right. Oh, that's true. Well,
you can show titty in PG-13.
I think you this just, is like, rated R for strong, violent, gruesome incidents, accidents, language, drug content, and some media.
Oh, yeah, there's a lot of drugs.
There are a lot of drugs. Yeah, that's another thing that a little part of the first sequence. What is his name? The druggy guy.
Rory. I only know some names from going through IMDb trivia and being like, who are they talking about right now? And having to hunt everybody down.
Played by Jonathan Cherry. So great job, Jonathan. You got the heroin chic look down, I guess. But a so 2000s version, which I wasn't prepared for. But I love that he has a like Coke ring.
want one of those.
That was badass. And he's just like doing blow and the cop is right there and he's like, oh fuck, you know. I love that. And the coffee, there's so many little details. I was like, God, I have to clock so many little things right now. The coffee in the cop's car. But the cop's death was killer. Like
literally
his head blew up. He blew up. His head blew up. A log blew up his head. That's gorgeous. We love to see that.
I forgot, like, I knew a log truck was like involved and like started the, or we call them putwood trucks. I don't know what y'all call them.
No, I don't call them anything,
but just like, I call them final destination trucks. Yeah, I don't know what about you. But I was not like, his death made me jump.
Oh
like,
yeah.
I was like not expecting it. Cause I haven't seen this one in a while.
Yeah, he's just fucked because he looks down for that 1 second and his head blows up. So that's terrible. And then Eugene goes next, right? I think. Yeah. No.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That makes
Eugene
sense.
Eugene goes next. He's on his motorcycle. And his motorcycle like squishes him. He falls off his motorcycle and squishes him. Poor guy. You hate to see it. Then we have the mom and the son. Right. And the mom and the son die because the son has been playing with stupid bottles, like making drum noises. And one of the bottles goes under her brakes and she can't brake. And then they flip over and they explode.
Come way later, though, because they're like first in line, which means that they must have been near the last in the original order.
Cat dies next. She just like flips over.
Isn't it? Eugene, Rory, Kat, then the
Eugene, Rory, Kat, you're right. Then the mom and the son.
And the kid. And then the lottery ticket winner guy.
Then the lottery guy. That shit was gruesome. You're watching his face melt off.
And all her friends, right?
And her and all her friends. That's
everybody.
That's the order. But the thing that really like shocked me about this one and I totally forgot is not that I like was sure that all of her friends were going to survive, but the like double whammy where like she has the vision, she saves all those people. But where the fuck does that truck with the cars on it come from? I was thinking about it logistically because like it comes from like behind it. Did he come? No, but it's going the wrong direction. I don't understand. I don't understand how it hits them. It doesn't make sense.
My guess is her car is like pulled kind of like off, like into, like she's getting on, but she's like, so she's probably like halfway on the interstate and halfway like on the ramp. And so that car probably just like whacks them like that.
I think maybe like its brakes fail as it's trying to stop for the accident coming up ahead of it.
Swerving. Avoid the accident. And it that must be car.
It. Because when I was first looking at it, I was like, did it come down the fucking ramp? Everyone would be dead. I don't understand what happened.
Just smushes everybody in its path.
Yeah, the first rewatch, I was like, where did this truck come from?
Yeah.
It doesn't matter, you guys. Death sent it. It's Death's design. He really just fully puts his hand on the table at some point, and is like, well, I've just, most of the deaths are like random series of events that are sort of sparked by someone taking action, doing something. Sometimes Death is like, no, it's your time and I've decided, and I'm closing vents, I'm opening valves, I'm locking doors, like, sorry about it. So
okay, then this is my question.
Mm-hmm.
Why is it backwards?
Okay. They I have a theory.
But it doesn't make sense because nothing ever comes for the cop.
Well,
unless that counted as it's coming for the cop. But then he saved Kimberly, and so then did it switch?
My brain, yeah, I like, think
my pretty
dying,
little brain.
I think her dying at the end, which is very Fear Street 1994, a clear reference. And obviously we planned that.
We
love to do through lines back to back.
Always thinking, you know, of the minutiae.
Yeah, but I think her taking action, like in Fear Street, kind of like prevents anything wonky from happening. But to the question of backwards, they kind of are just like, Death is doing this on purpose, because blah blah blah, like they're kind of implying that it's trying to take out Kimberly first, I think, because of the premonitions. But also they all have their connections to the Flight 180 deaths, like the whole thing is Kimberly,
I love that part of it. Yeah. I love that. The ripple effect.
Kimberly didn't get shot when her mom got in the altercation outside the mall because she was watching the coverage from Todd's death. And Todd was the first survivor to die. And then Eugene was like next, and that he replaced Val Luton, the teacher, who was the second survivor to die. So I think the like backwards order is the order that they should have
died
or something. The order that they had the connection to the Flight 180 survivor deaths.
Oh. And it but just also, happens to, oh, wow. Oh, geez. I can't remember the order of those deaths. You're asking a lot of me here, movie.
I have a question.
Fact check. Yes, go, Sydney.
So we figured out like that connection. What do we think the lottery ticket winner guy's connection was and the mom and the son's connection was? Because they figured this out after those three characters were dead.
I think that they all lived in the same apartment building where a brick fell off and hit Alex in the head. I don't know.
Can we also talk about that?
There's only one. First of all, that is so fucked up because they wanted Devon Sawa to return for the sequel, but then per IMDb trivia, there were like contract disputes and basically they were just like, okay, we'll do it without you. And I wonder if they wanted him and Ali Larder to both come back or if they were just like, fine, whatever, we'll just have Ali Larder. Although I suspect both, but the fact that they were like,
because people will just give you them.
Yeah. The fact that they were like, we'll just give you the most anticlimactic off screen, wimpy little death. One tiny little brick falls, game right? over.
Kind of, it's kind of funny though. Like bitchy. It's kind of fitting. It's kind of fitting. So bitchy. In its, it's like a fuck you. It's like I guess it couldn't be middle finger up.
It couldn't be too complicated, or they wouldn't be able to reveal it in like one newspaper article they we glance at for 5 seconds.
Read but... it. They made me read what happened. Like that, they wouldn't even tell me. I had to pause it and read it. I'm like, that's very rude. At least give me something. Ugh. But I had a whole misremembrance of this movie because, spoiler alert, sorry. I remembered that they like, this is how I remembered it, that they introduced Clear being alive still. They went to the padded cell and like, she refuses to help, and then she immediately dies in my memory. I thought she immediately died, but I figured out why. I was like, why is she still alive? How did I forget all of this? It's because she also dies in a hospital later on. And so I was like, hospital, it's the same hospital. Never leaves hospital. Delete entire sentence, middle part of the film. I'm glad that I was wrong because I love having her in this. She gives us that low-waisted pants, belly sliver realness that everybody's looking for in 2003. So thank you so much for doing that, Clear.
That was also part of why they did it backwards, so that they could save Clear for way longer in the movie. Although I guess you could argue that her death order is like not really related to anything else.
Yeah, I don't know how her death order would like play into it at all. Because she's not involved in this order, so it doesn't make sense. I mean, I guess kind of she is, if you're doing that thing with the ripple effect and their death order is related to the death order of the people that saved their lives from the first movie. It's so fucking complicated.
It is complicated. I do want to talk about it for a second though, because okay, in the first one, there's like the whole reveal where Alex holds himself up and then realizes that Clear actually was supposed to die ahead of him if he never changed his seat. So he's like, I have to go save Clear. So she's in the order ahead of him. But then when he saves her, it sort of like resets things. And then they go to Paris. And then he's still like last on the list, I guess. And then Carter saves him. But then the order gets so complicated. But the fact that Alex still died before Clear seems wrong to me, other than they were like, this is the actor we can get and this is an actor we cannot get.
I think that probably because Clear says like we cheated death dozens of times, and so I think maybe they had to like swap back and forth for a while
of saving like,
surviving
each other.
Yeah, after, because we don't know how long it's been a year.
Yeah, and they said something like he hadn't left his house for 3 months before he finally went outside and got bonked
immediately
with the brick.
Killed.
I
don't know if like what is the point of being alive if you're just stuck in a padded room the whole day. Maybe I'm only asking this question because I actively have COVID right now and have been locked in one room for 5 days. But
yeah, no, this movie it doesn't open with the crash. It opens with like that news interview or something there's a conspiracy theorist basically being like, death's design, you have to watch out for it, blah, blah, blah. First of all, that's so irrelevant to the plot, other than I guess to imply the characters you're about to meet will have cultural knowledge of the weirdness around Flight 180.
Which is important to establish, you know, I guess.
Yeah, fair enough. But I thought the conspiracy theory guy was going to be the one that like saw the news coverage and hunted them all down and like bound them together or something like that, which could have been really interesting. They didn't do that, which is fine, I guess. But missed opportunity.
Wanted to focus on the hot cop.
He was very hot.
He's literally fine. Whatever. But he's pretty hot. They have him being like,
but he's a cop.
You have
though.
To watch A-cab. Out for. You have to watch out for death. No one can escape death. Today may be your day to die. But it's like, he says, in order to survive, the only way to survive is to look beneath the visible world. If you can't cheat death, and that's the whole point, why are you being careful? Just go about your life. It's either going to happen or it's not. The guy tries to shoot, Eugene tries to shoot himself, and it's not his time, and so it doesn't work. I would simply stop worrying.
I would never fucking want to know when I'm going to die. I would have like I never want to fucking know. Do you want to know how you're going to die and when you're going to die? No, I don't want to know. Don't tell me. I saw a comic recently that was like, I asked a what's it called? A psychic. There we go. Sorry. I almost said a seer. That would have worked too.
That would have worked.
A seer. The whole comic was about like, haha, it was a lie. But then it was in the back of his head for the rest of his life, worrying about this thing. And then it happened. So don't ask the psychic that little bit of advice for you.
I never want to know, ever.
It's not don't tell business. Me.
It's none of my business.
It's nobody's business, except for everyone should know afterwards. They can do an in memoriam. We were just talking about an in memoriam for Sydney. Because she bonked her knee and promptly died.
Before my eyes, right before we recorded the podcast.
Oh man, yeah. It's just one thing I will say about this one. I mean, I'm not going to say it's better than the first one because it's not. It doesn't have that je ne sais quoi. But it doesn't have that je ne sais quoi. But it does make me have fewer existential crises, which I, as a person who has many, appreciated that I didn't have to feel the weight of the world watching this one because it was so silly and there was such silly gore for me to be like, ha 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 ha.
There's like certain things like that I liked more about this movie than the first one. Like I loved all the deaths.
Like what?
All of the deaths. Yes, I liked every single death.
The deaths were great.
More in this movie. I liked that there wasn't like a clear, like in your face romance plot. Like I know there is a little between Kimmy and Mr. Cop, but it's not as like visceral as like Clear and Alex were. Know what I mean?
Yeah. We don't have to have that weird Clear monologue. That
somewhere
about
out there,
the stars,
a universe, yeah.
If the multiverse is real,
and it is,
she went full multiverse. I was like, please don't bring the multiverse into Final Destination. I can't.
We're
handle,
doing it in every
frankly,
other property.
I can't
right now.
Handle.
But like, yeah, I like the deaths more in this. Like they were. Like graphic and visceral, and fun fact, they were all practical effects and like not CGI'd, except Chelsea did say that like the log was CGI'd.
Yeah. Apparently they tested the logs and they were not bouncing the way they wanted the logs to be bouncing in the opening of this movie. So they CGI'd the logs. But apparently other than that, I guess, which is fascinating for some of them, like Rory's death when the wire fence splits him in three, how'd they do
that's a practical effect.
Let's go through all the deaths. Let's just talk about the deaths because
they save
so
many
much.
For like the last 30 minutes of the movie. Like very few people die for the first hour, other than I guess arguably the beginning, but
all the people that died in the crash, there's like 13 or 18 people that die in the crash.
In the
we just don't
but
see
don't,
them.
Yeah, it's like not our business.
But yeah, we get all that gore in the first 15. We can't like ignore that. But I mean, I like, well, another thing I liked about this one is because they had that like mass death thing with the news van, you don't have to have so many anticipation deaths, which just make me so anxious. They make me so anxious. They're awesome. But like the first one was bad enough with what's his name? Evan. Oh my God. Evan's was making me so stressed out. I love this concept where he won the lottery yesterday and the next day he was supposed to die. Like it's hilarious.
Classic.
That's just a very funny joke that they've added in here. But I love that like he's walking to his apartment with like he just has this stack of shit he already bought. Like the iMac, I was dying.
That like, would be me though if I won the lottery. I would immediately go shopping.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
You think
yeah.
he could immediately hire a maid to clean his disgusting apartment, but I guess not.
No, his priority was the bling, honey. And that's right. The ugliest watch and ring combination I've ever seen in my life. To die for that combination of ring and watch is so sad. But I mean, those have got to be real diamonds. So I wouldn't want it to go down the drain either. But also, I hate them for having garbage disposal content. I hate that shit. So nervous. I was like, don't put your hand in there. Don't do that. If he gets a meat, like a minced meat hand, I'm going to freak out.
I guess technically there was no garbage disposal content because it didn't. We don't even know that there was a garbage disposal other than we know they were threatening us with the idea of a garbage disposal. They wanted us to fear for our lives and our hands and our limbs. And I kept thinking like a light switch was going to come into play at some point. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And then they didn't. Accident. But it was so much all at once in that death scene. And there was some really good foreshadowing in that one too, which is fun. But it was like they had the microwave going and his hand in the garbage disposal and the fire on the stove. And then like, you know, series of events leads him to go out on the fire escape. And that's what happens. But the fact that you had all three of those threats all at once, and then none of them even like ultimately were the one that got him. It was, how dare you?
I loved it,
but how dare you make me feel so stressed? And then he gets out and then he slips on the spaghetti because he just tossed a handful of spaghetti.
That's fucked up. Don't throw the spaghetti in fucking alley, you
heathen.
It's
for the birds.
Don't do that. That's disgusting. That shit's gonna reek and it's under your window, you fucking idiot. So it's gonna smell like shit in one day. So let's think about the future. But I also love like all of this chaos is going down and in the background is all these hot sounding girls being like, hey, Evan, I know I haven't seen you in a year and a half, but I heard that you won the lottery and I just think that we should out sometime. There's like all the it's so good, it's so funny, it's just the chaos of that scene is beautiful. And like when he's like relieved where he thinks he hasn't died even though he's fallen on the ground and the ladder has fallen almost to impale him in his eye and then it still gets him and it just there's so much blood. How is that one a practical effect? Did they just put a pumpkin shaped like a head?
It's probably just a dummy filled head. With blood.
Beautifully done. Gorgeous, gorgeous. It's a great death. We love to see it.
And but yeah, I mean, they have the magnets on the fridge and the H falls, which is what goes in the microwave, but it just says I and the magnets remaining. And like, apparently when he steps on the baby doll in the hallway and almost trips and falls to his death, the baby doll only has one eye. Like they're really putting the work in for all of the little hints in this movie in some fun ways. Not to skip around too much, but the hook hand one later, insane,
incredible. Okay,
hands that's with an hooks? Iconic one. Is that a sign, man with hook hand?
The pigeon one is so funny.
Yeah, let's go through them in order because the next one is just like so. This one's so anxiety producing. Like this is like the water from the toilet coming out of the angle stop because we have pigeons, suicidal pigeons. We have a dentist. That's already terrifying for some people. Not me,
specifically.
But you have to sit.
Yes. Then you have to sit there through the drilling.
Also, this one sets the precedent. This is the first doctor-related death. It doesn't end up being the doctor's fault, but there's a series of doctor office-related deaths in the subsequent films, and this sets the scene. This is the first one, so that's exciting. But the fact that all this shit's going down, his mom's almost getting electrocuted by water coming out of a fish tank. A bird crashes through a window.
Fish stuck on the top of the suction pipe.
Right.
Oh, that's what I missed that part. There's like water everywhere. There's a dead fish. There's a bird that is injured. Everyone's going crazy. Meanwhile, poor boy who will be unnamed, poor little boy who makes a very crude joke about being sexually assaulted by the dentist, He's 15. Cannot go unnoticed. He literally says, if I come out of there with my pants down, like, I'm not paying or something like that. Or if my pants are unzipped at then, I was like, oh my God, this is very dark. Okay.
Classic 2003.
He almost get laugh gassed to death while a plastic fish falls in his mouth from the sky. Like,
yes.
And then the dentist assistant is just like, oh my fuck, like this kid like almost
it out of his
died
mouth.
Of suffocation while we fought a bird.
The fact that the mom is out there grabbing the bird with her bare hands, that
gotta do it.
I mean, I guess it can go either way with white ladies, and I say this as a white lady because some white ladies are like, yeah, let me touch this random wild animal. And then I would have pegged her though as the kind of lady that would be like,
I'm that
somebody
kind of white
lady. Handle this. I'm a customer here and I need somebody else. You work here, you handle the bird that flew in. But she's out there scooping it up. So I mean,
I guess love that about her. Good for her. I love that for her.
She seems like a nice lady.
I'm Nora. The type of white lady who likes to pick up.
You'd pick up animals. A bird.
I pick up frogs. But I would not be like the white lady who tried to go up to a bison and then she got gored to death. I'm not that.
Or
medium,
the lady
medium place.
with the elephant, who the elephant killed her and then came back and was like, bitch, we still got beef. I'm going to fuck
at
up your funeral.
Yeah.
That shit was your own nuts. Something that's related to this is the other day I saw a coyote and then I followed it for like 3 blocks. So not super smart, but I could fight a coyote and win. And I know that. Bison, no. Elephant, never. Respect elephants.
Here's the thing, Monica. No, you could not win against a coyote.
Yes, I could.
No, you could not.
I could kick it. I could kick it.
Trust me.
I could kick it.
No, you could not.
They're scared of me. I'm 3 times the size of a coyote.
Trust me, baby. You would not win.
I'm gonna win. One day this will happen because I live next to Griffith Park.
He's gonna prove you. Yeah. Well, we'll see when that day comes. And then we'll have our Monica in memoriam. Maybe. Unless you win. I mean, we'll see.
In the arms.
Manifestation.
Nobody spirit whisper this or whatever you were talking about earlier.
But okay.
Anyway.
All of this, all these people trying to save this boy's life. So many people.
And then she runs up and she's like, pigeons. And then he's like, I love pigeons. What, sir? This is a family that loves birds. This is a bird family.
You're 15 years old. That's the issue. No, I don't want to shit on bird people. I'm a bird person as well, but I will never have one in my home because it's just not something I can take on. But I love looking at them. But like, why don't disturb the pigeons, by the way, they're just living their life. And why when she's like, pigeons, oh my God, like with fear in her eyes, he's like, yeah, that's so true. I gotta go get in there. I gotta get right in there. Hey, is that lady who told me I'm gonna die and she's screaming pigeons? I should go towards them. This is why you can't trust a child. That's not true. We have an episode called Trust the Child or something like that.
Well, I mean,
he's a teen. You can't trust a teen. That's it.
You really cannot trust a teen. But they did want to make him a child originally. They wanted him to be younger. And then the studio was like, you can't smush a kid with a pane of glass, I guess. And smush him they did. His body crumpled under that glass, which
it like broke apart.
Yeah, I did love watching it crumple. That was a highlight.
That practical effect, they got like a dummy who like moved that way and then filled it with blood.
Okay, we'll
love
that.
That's
cool. That's iconic.
Ah, I love practical effects. It looked so good. It looked awesome. It looked awesome. And he was just smooshed.
Yeah, they said the only CGI that they used in that scene was they added more birds.
You know what?
They
There's not enough
birds. You know what?
We
this
can't afford
mean?
More bird actors. So we gotta add them in post. Oh my God, I love that so much.
His name is Tim. I just saw it in my notes.
Tim, R.I.P. Tim. Thank you for the memories. His mom's death though, like the lead up to the mom's death is soups sad. Like, she's just like, I'm ready to die because my whole family is dead. Like, I was like, oh my God, it's getting too real. Don't you dare make me have an existential crisis. This is supposed to be the funny one. We didn't quite get there, but geez.
The fact that they had it involved with a man with a basket full of prosthetic hands and forearms and hooks, I think made it a little less scary, just because I don't think I'll ever find myself in such a situation. You know what I mean? I don't know anybody who has that many. But okay. Also, why did he sniff her?
Okay. He's a pervert. That's the secret. It's a pervert holding a basket of prosthetic arms.
As somebody who has had her hair sniffed by a strange man in an elevator, I can confirm that that does happen.
Okay, I hate that.
That's so weird. And I hate that also holding a basket of arms.
I hate that he looked over at Eugene and was basically like, be cool. And Eugene, he was like, what the fuck? But he didn't like really enter. I guess, what are you going to do?
Eugene is the reason that he looked over, because he looks at the guy sniffing him and he goes, and then the guy's like, oh shit. And he steps back.
That's when he's like, be cool, don't say anything. But I guess, you know, circumstances really get out of hand before too much can happen.
That hook
gets hooked in that braid real fast.
Also, like, everybody, no one is having visions, excuse me, except for Kimberly. And then all of a sudden, doofus Rory has his little hook hands vision. And it's just so he's like, I think something's going to happen with the man with hook for hands. And they're like, okay, Rory, somebody did a little bit too much cocaine. But he was right.
Right.
I guess you could argue that there are signs in Evan's death. Like we talked about the magnets with the eye and the baby doll. It's just he's not looking for them. Yeah, you know what I mean? True. So you could argue that they are there for other people to see. But
not in the same.
We only get so many.
Well, yeah, I guess you're right. The visions come are so nebulous.
Mostly she gets like full-blown visions, which are very strange and out of the lore in general of the Final Destination world. But again, it's only the second one. They're trying to set it apart. And then I guess later on, they probably were like, did we like the way that happened? Although I think they do that in 4 again too, because I read an article that was like, questions we still have about the Final Destination franchise, and one of them was like, why is this guy the only one who has the weird visions? And then I was like, actually in Final Destination 2 she also has weird visions, but we haven't gotten to 4 yet, so I can't speak to that knowledgeably.
They
just really play it fast and loose with the rules sometimes. They're switching it up.
Spoilers for FD3, but does this what's it called, ripple effect that is the cause for the second movie continue in the third? Because I don't remember that at all.
I don't think so.
Ah, man, it would have been so complicated to continue it, but I loved that, because I was like, they set up infinite movies because the ripple continues forever and ever. But I guess I might get old pretty quick to be like, oh, remember.
Yeah, Kimberly? You can only use it so many times.
She was my cousin and I was going to see her that day. Like some shit like that. Like, it would be too much. Okay, really quickly before we continue with the deaths, I just don't want to forget about how could we forget about Tony Todd, Mr. Bloodsworth?
Tony Todd!
Is he death? Is he just death? Is he death?
Right.
Like he is. Also, hook for hands, little Candyman reference.
In the
movie itself. But this, he is fucking incredible. Still hot. Amazingly hot. He rips out Evan's nipple ring. He rips it out.
Oh,
he
doesn't take it out.
He rips his nipple. He rips his nipple right off.
Which
I love,
was
like,
a
that
bad
Evan had the nipple ring, by the
nipple
way.
Ring too.
That's true. It didn't look very real. He's just
the nipples
just gonna
were
stand
too
there.
Hard.
Yeah, he's dead. Oh, and he's in rigor mortis stage. So that's
still
why.
Even when you saw him in his apartment, nipple was too hard.
Did we know right. We had a nipple ring from that yeah. part? I missed that. I didn't clock that in the death scene.
Yeah, that's where I first saw it. He was like walking around.
She's in on the nip. Okay,
she's on nip watch.
They literally do a like a close up on it, like based on the camera where he's like standing, and it's like the closest thing to the camera. Y'all just aren't paying attention.
So funny. I'm
I've
so
got
sorry.
Nipple blindness, I guess.
I was dyeing my pubes when watching this, so I missed a couple details.
As somebody who has nipple piercings, you just like instantly see them, you know? It's like
my brother, my sister, my
real,
friend,
you know?
My kin.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I got you. But these are bad looking nipple piercings. And I think it's just one. So
yeah, he continues to be so fucked up with the body horror. Like he's just like, I'm gonna continue doing my job in front of the youths. Like just throws Evan's body into the crematorium. Like, oh my God, horrifying. But yeah, he has absolutely nothing helpful to say.
Well, I mean, he kind of does. Like, it does loop back around. It is a red herring at first. But yeah, I mean, he's just such a weirdo in these movies.
So
I wish
good.
We had gotten another line that was iconic as you don't want to fuck with that Mac Daddy, although I guess, you know, there's what's gonna top that?
Nothing.
He was you like can't. Dead yet still fresh and like, hello Clear, I've been expecting you, and like that was fun. And that
and he does that little
setup.
Wink at the end, and that's uh-huh. like
I love a good can't. Wink.
I can't cut the wink to be the opening quote, but I wish that I could, because that was so iconic and he looked so cute.
Yeah, he does. His whole setup is very also Nightmare on Elm Street, arguably Nightmare on Elm Street 2 specifically. And then we've got the birds in this movie too. So we made this a Pride Month movie by just referencing all of our other movies within it.
There you go.
Oh yeah. And her drowning.
Yes, yeah. But he says in that part, the whole thing about only new life can defeat death. So he did.
Oh yeah, that
them,
is helpful.
Yeah, it's a helpful that. Hint, and more than he gave them in the first movie, where he basically was like, sorry about it. Best of luck, which is to say there's nothing you can do. But
dude, I think he's death. I think that he's death and he's just fucking with them. He's like, I'm going to give you a little niblet of something to make you think that you can escape, but I'm still going to fuck you up in the end. He's death. I want Tony Todd to be death. So when I die, I get to see Tony Todd.
Sure. I mean, I think you could see him before that if you went to like a horror convention, you know?
Yeah.
I mean?
Yeah. Hopefully. One of our podcast Maybe. Friends interviewed him, so like it's within the realm of possibility, but yeah. at the same time, I would feel safer with the concept of death in general if I knew Tony Todd was going to be there for me at the end. You know what I mean? So let's let
I
me
think
have
we
this.
Would all feel safer knowing that Tony Todd will be there to greet us.
He's
going
to wink at
usher
me
us
right
over
as
the River Styx or whatever.
Oh
He's
my God.
The pole man on the River Styx.
I love that for him. I love that journey for him.
It is a journey. It yeah. is a journey.
But okay, back to the deaths. I love a decapitation in an elevator. And I also love that we get a little like elevator tease earlier on in the movie too with Rory, where you're like, oh fuck, we got an elevator in the game. I guess this is a thing that this doesn't make me scared of elevators though. This didn't give me a fear of elevators. Someone that I was talking to, we like asked like, what's your favorite Final Destination death? And somebody said the elevator one. And I was like, is there another elevator one? Because like the likelihood of a hook man grabbing your braid and then your head getting ripped off is like pretty fucking low. You know what I mean? Like obviously right. it can happen because it just happened in this movie. But I don't feel fear for that. I'm more fearful that like,
I mean,
I it'll smash and I'll explode.
Yeah,
this
I guess
is, I'm.
It is
I'm
very
afraid
scary
of
to get stuck in the doors. I got like spun around by the doors one time at your old apartment, actually, Monica.
Oh, no way.
And it was very scary, and I didn't like it. Those doors closed so fast in the elevator at your old apartment, And it just like caught me in the shoulder one time and like spin me in a circle. And
I'm sorry.
Yeah. So I think the hook hand, you know, how often is that going to happen? But could you get like stuck in an elevator door and the doors don't pop back open right away? Sure.
Fair. What were you going to say, Sid?
There, one of the elevators in college, like the building, the doors were installed upside down. And so like, if you tried to like put your foot in to like
The
sensor was like up top. And so the doors would not like stop if you like put your hand in there, and it like there was like broken arms, like it fucked people up. So like, yeah, like that's
bad.
Okay, I get it now. All right, yeah. I get it. All right.
And he's got like the shoe in his Rory's trip up. He's trying to put his spit on that guy's face, which I also didn't appreciate.
Oh yeah. Honey, don't.
Although it's a little fruity, so that's fun. But apparently in that scene when Rory is in the elevator and he's going up Rocky Mountain High, the song from the first movie is like playing as elevator music. And it's in this movie one or two other times, maybe. It's playing as an instrumental in the dentist's waiting room, too. So, you know, I have to say I'm really glad they did not make A Highway to Hell, the Rocky Mountain High of this movie, which I really thought they were going to do for a second.
I like Highway to Hell. It's funny.
I like Highway to Hell. Yes. It was well used. They did have fun with it. If they had played it 500 times in this film, that would have been too many times. It's not as pleasant listening and go with whatever the mood is as Rocky Mountain High. You know what I mean? It's got its own vibe that it brings wherever it goes.
Yeah. I see what you're saying. Doesn't have that ominous vibe. It's kind of too like, yeah, it's like, oh, I'm gonna die, but like I'm kind of cool with it.
You're gonna have fun. Rocks. Yeah.
Oh man. Yeah.
The elevator death is really rough. And then you get like a little break for a while, because then they have they're starting to like put pieces together, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And they're starting to be like, we gotta hunt down the pregnant lady, that's gonna be the new life that saves us.
And they got me with that one. I got tricked.
I know.
I got tricked so hard. They never fucking show her death. I rewatched the beginning. What? Like, I was so sure. You never see that bitch again. Like, I was so sure.
It was a really good setup, because as soon as Tony Todd was like, only new life can pay for death, I was like, well, good thing they've got a pregnant lady in this movie. And I think they, obviously that is not what ends up happening, but they must have really been attached to the original ending from the first Final Destination, and that's where they like pulled that idea from.
I totally thought about that too. When Tony Todd said that, I was like, this is their redemption arc for the baby ending.
For a second I was like, are they really gonna have two of these characters fuck and try and make a baby so fast? But thankfully they had a pregnant lady, and then also it was irrelevant, I guess. So, although it was not super irrelevant, I mean, that's the car that they like have a near collision with or collision with when their van gets fucked. And then you get like a couple back to back.
Oh yeah. They do a good job of making you think, oh, they do a great job with this twist. Like, mm-hmm. I love that they're like, fuck, after all of this planning to try to keep her safe, putting an APB out on her van and getting her locked up, which was fucked up. She's pregnant. You're gonna put her in prison to try to like save her life. Still fucked up. And I'm like, they're gonna be the ones that kill her, because I didn't remember what happened. So I mean, that was a good little fake out too. But that just, everything that happens in that little scene was so epic. Like, poor Eugene gets stabbed in the lung, like the tree going through the door, so Kat's trapped in there. Mm-hmm. The PVC pipe like going right through the back of her
Kat's death chair. Is my favorite.
It's so funny.
Also, like, why didn't the airbags deploy the first time? You know, it's all Death's design.
Yeah. Why are you asking dumb questions, Monica? Because Eugene tried to kill himself with six times and none of the bullets work, remember? Because it wasn't his time yet.
Sure, sure, sure.
The laws are so rigid and then they're so not. It's just the luck of the draw.
Like I said, death is really tipping the scales at some point. Like the whole Eugene hospital scene later, that is not random series of events. That is death being like, specifically, fuck you. And that sucks, by the way. That whole scene sucks. I hate that. It's so not fair when death can be like, I'm actively making changes to the physical world around me instead of I am tipping the scales of fate. You know what I mean? Like, it's one thing to be like,
yeah, that was
like going to happen because it's my design. And another, yes, exactly. And that made sense in the first one, because in the first one, that whole thing was like, originally they wanted death to be more of an active sort of on-screen presence, if you will, yeah, in that way. And then they were like, actually, never mind, but we'll keep this one as it is for some reason. And then they never really go back to that until, I don't know, I guess they just,
I don't know.
It doesn't matter. It's death's design. He can do what he wants. Tony Todd said it's fine. So
whatever he says goes, baby.
Whatever he says goes.
But it's back to the car crash scene, because that's just so good. I mean, poor Kat. I liked her a lot. She just got that great job and she's finally dating a decent guy. And she just bought a house. Oh, my God.
She just terrible, bought a house.
Terrible time to go. And then, like, you think I'm not going to remember that Rory saved that kid? I fucking remember. Okay. So put a little check mark on that for later. I fucking remember that.
And then I was like, why are they back here? Why would they go here of all places to like share a meal? It was for the setup. It was just for the setup.
It's just for the setup. But I just like Rory's death is my favorite death. I love it so much because I have a thing with people getting sliced apart like that ever since I watched Ghost Ship. And I'll leave it at that because I don't want to say more. And one day we'll cover Ghost Ship. Maybe just we'll cover the first 15 minutes of Ghost Ship, because I remember the last hour and 15 minutes being really bad, but the beginning. But that was iconic. He was like, oh, do you think it'll hurt when I die, Kimberly? And she's like, I don't fucking know, Rory. Come on. Like, what
why
the
would
fuck?
I know that?
Why would I fucking know that? And I would say that would probably hurt, because he was like, they did the classic, he's still alive, but his body is just about to fall apart. And you get innards. You get a whole little intestine coming out, small intestine coming out of him. That was so
IMDb
cool.
Trivia.
I smiled real big during that part.
IMDb trivia specifically references that moment and how he was like, do you think it'll hurt? And then it's like, and then he dies in excruciating pain when he gets torn into three parts. So, you know, you picked up on the hint and they said, that's what we wanted. Yeah, we did that on purpose.
Do you think Kimberly went and threw away his porno and his drugs?
There was no time.
That was the last thing that he asked. Well, maybe in the aftermath, because she like kills herself like 5 minutes later. So, you know, maybe after she's revived, she can do that. I don't understand the end of this movie. I'm just gonna be honest. I don't fucking understand what like they're trying to do. I don't understand how her killing herself or drowning herself does anything. I don't get
it. It's like Alex skipping the line in the first one when he goes to Clear's house and he grabs like the wires. And then it's like a 6 months later and they're in Paris.
But like, how is that skipping?
Oh.
I just don't understand the order. Cause what the fuck with the cop? The cop, nothing happens to the cop. I don't understand. I don't get it.
Well, she skips him. Is what I think is implied, is that it would be his turn next, but she puts the pieces together. And then her taking action is like Alex grabbing the wires.
I guess I just like they don't phrase it in that way. I totally see what you're saying. They don't say like, I'm going to go do this so you don't die. Like, that's not explicit. It's like, I'm going to go do this because the baby thing didn't work. Like, that's how it comes across.
So I think they still think like death can only be stopped with like a new life or something. And so they think her dying because she does die for however little minutes, but then she is, it's just like in Fear Street. They think it's going to like stop everything because she died. And so every, like, it like ends like the thing and nobody, like that is their assumption, but
that shit never
it never works. Like, it's not true, but that's what they think it is. But then at the very end, we see Brian die because Rory saved him. And they're probably like, oh fuck. Like, we didn't actually,
it's coming back around.
Yeah, we've just stalled it a little bit.
It doesn't actually make any sense, but it's okay. Yeah, because I am fine with that. It's, yeah, just, I mean, the thing that pisses me off is that they make so many rules in this. Uh-huh. Like, you know how I am in every other movie. Like, Chelsea is like, I need to know exactly why this is happening. And I'm just like, magic, baby, magic. But this one, the whole thing is rules. Mm-hmm. And then they, like, they don't follow them. And it doesn't make sense to me. So I'm just,
the
like,
whole thing is rules, but also the whole thing is death's design. And death can be like, we're going backwards. So, I mean, I think
spicy bitch death. God.
Yeah.
Damn.
I mean, I made my argument already. I do think the backwards thing has a connection to, like, should they have died, or it's in connection in order of their connection from the original, whatever. you know what I'm trying to communicate.
Yeah, yeah, I
but yeah, it is. It's, unless Tony Todd is death, or is in communication with death in some capacity, for him to be like, only new life defeats death. And then she sees a newspaper clipping that's like, new life for drowning victim. And then she goes, ah, yes, that's the new life being discussed. Like,
yeah.
Unless he used that phrasing specifically so when she saw the newspaper article, you know what I mean? It's just one of those things where
it's fine.
It just relies on the characters to make the connections, and they sure do. So
they,
you know,
do their darndest, don't
the
they?
The fact, yeah, that Rory is like a man with hooks for hands, and then there is the man with hooks for hands, and then he is involved, and like, let's not pretend that little shadow illustration was like the most clear thing in the world. You know what I mean? Like, they're jumping to conclusions, but they are the right
reasoning.
Conclusions most of the time, except for the pregnant lady bit.
Yeah.
That reveal is so good. That I will give them huge kudos for that reveal.
Oh, totally. It's so good. And the,
the way they reveal it.
Between her being born, the whole thing with the doctor, where you think the doctor is going to kill someone. Killer. Like,
what's her name? Kalargian. Dr. Kalargian. Yeah. Never mind. I'll get to that in a minute. I think that the whole pregnant lady sequence is great, because also it's so funny to me that she is about to give birth in her jail cell and is like, we have to go to the hospital. And the cop is like, I guess we have to go to the hospital, when like the whole point of putting her in jail was to force her to have her baby before anything could happen to her. And so clearly none of that was communicated to that cop at all.
Oh, well, yeah, because he's not gonna fucking get it. He's not gonna believe it, because he's an idiot and he's a cop. He's not gonna get it.
I just think it was really poor planning on their part when they're, also it's poor planning to have Kimberly being the one driving the truck at the end, when we know she's gonna have visions at some point. Like, she's been doing premonitions this whole time. You want to put her behind the wheel of a vehicle? That sounds like a bad idea. First of all, the cop you'd think would be driving, because authority issues, but whatever.
Yeah, I mean, he was the one okay cop that I've seen in a film of late. Okay, just okay. Didn't do anything that great. He wasn't that
hot. He was
hot.
Not being a cop like this whole time, for the most part.
I know.
Except a little
bit
in the beginning.
That's why it worked out really nice. Except for there's that part he's like, ladies, you forgot I'm a cop. And we're like, yeah, right? I forgot you were a cop. Don't remind me.
Right? How dare dare you remind moment us
and think you're cute.
Yeah, I mean, he does get a woman wrongfully arrested, so that he is being a cop in that moment as well, I guess.
Yes, he's using his cop skills to be a cop.
Oh no.
I'm so sad Clear blew up.
I think they did Clear so dirty.
Like, they fucking blew her up, man. She exploded.
I will say, I realized as we were talking, this movie takes place, roughly speaking, 1 year after the flight from the first movie. And then in that movie, it's like, I think 6 months later when they're in Paris. Yeah. And then we know Alex was in his house for 3 months at some point after that. So arguably, she was out in the world getting her hair dyed within very recent 3 months. She should still have more root growth. But you know, you can make an argument that it wasn't that long ago.
Oh, I see what you're saying. So she wasn't risking her life for the dye job.
Mm-hmm.
She might have gotten one last dye job before she went undercover, you know.
Yeah, but like I said, she's got that little electrical panel in there, and she's got a murder board up, which presumably is using tacks of some kind to like string all the strings together.
Maybe she's using that blue sticky stuff that teachers use.
She's got painter's tape.
Painter's tape or that blue
the
goo.
The tack stuff.
The tacky tack stuff.
Mm. Mm-hmm. Who knows? She abandons it real quick. Kimberly is mean to her one time and she goes, okay, fine. And just checks herself right on out.
That Kimberly is like, you're a bitch because you're not going to help me. And she walks out and she just flips off the camera. Also, just like, because we're talking about Clear, the Clear reveal that she's like going to actually help. Like when magic makes the rear view, like the sun visor mirror fall down right as she walks up so you could see her in the mirror reflection. I was like, that was so stupid. It's death's design that you'll see her. But there is a really
death
funny
dramatic, okay?
Oh
death
yeah.
Some flair.
There's also one of my favorite quotes of this entire movie is like they're at the gas station and this stupid kid's smoking next to the gas station, which you should never do. And she's like, what are you, a fucking idiot or something like that? She doesn't say fucking idiot. But in her mind, she wanted to say that. What does he say? Like, why don't you eat my jock biatch or something like that?
I love when people say biatch.
Like, he's like, suck my jock biatch or something like that. I'm just absolutely incredible. Just unhinged. A horrible thing to say. If someone said that to me, it would devastate me.
I'm going to start saying that all the time. Suck my jock,
just like
jock,
some fucking
biatch.
Punk kid. You're like, wow, how fucking dare you? You're going to speak to me like that? Oh, man. Terrible, terrible, terrible.
Yeah, I mean, I think it is. You're right. They totally did Clear dirty, though, what you were saying before. She doesn't have a chance. You really think for a second after the baby is born that it has stopped things, because the whole funny business with Eugene's room and like orchestrating his death with no human intervention, which again, I think it's not fair. And then it's like, just kidding. We teased you. They are going to die immediately and they just explode. It is a mess, but what really gets me about like the drowning scene at the end is that after she realizes like the bloody hands are her, and this has been her vision all along, and it's always been her, which I guess makes sense because it was always her POV in the vision, and I don't know why she assumed she would be like seeing from somebody else's body. But the way she's like, go get Dr. Kalarjian, and he doesn't, and then the doors are stuck for a moment, so he's not fat, but he can't raise a car anyway. When he was banging on the ambulance window with his gun, I thought for sure the gun was gonna shoot him in the face.
That would have been really funny.
That would have been a good Final Destination death. Why is he banging with a gun? That feels so unsafe. And then they just like, it wasn't his time, I guess, you know, classic Final Destination. You can't die unless death wants you to die.
I just want to say about that scene is that AJ Cook looks really pretty underwater.
That's, yeah. She did look pretty.
I was like, wow, you got underwater.
I was like, great job looking beautiful as you drown. Anyway.
I didn't like that he saw her in just her bra and her hospital bed. But I guess.
What am I going to do?
Well, I'm pretty sure. I was going to say, I'm pretty sure you are not supposed to have the bra. Yeah, because you want to see where the nipples are to go, where on the breastbone to do CPR for one.
Yeah, but I didn't want to be misremembering my middle school movie. So,
but they had tits in the beginning. Would have come full circle.
Different person.
Just kidding, AJ Cook. Yeah, AJ Cook, I respect your boundaries. But yeah, I mean, just the way the sun like shines through the hospital room in that moment. I really thought the way that the sun shined through in the hospital room in that moment that they were going to do like a flash forward and they were going to be like in the hospital having just had a baby together or something. I really thought they were going to come back to the baby thing again.
Just really, maybe you, Chelsea, want the baby thing to happen.
I don't.
I'm getting a baby vibe from you right now.
Final Destination wants the baby thing to happen. I just thought they were going to do it, but instead I think they were doing like the shining light of God. I don't know. And then they cut to the farm and I was like, who is Mrs. Gibbons? Who are these people? And AJ Cook is just like, I had a fun summer. So like all of that happens in May, I guess June, July, August. That was all amazing for her afterwards.
Time.
She's no longer mourning the death of her friends. She's got these new friends on the farm.
Let her have a little fun. Okay.
Sure.
Everyone grieves in their own way.
But poor Mickey Milkovich,
he blew up. They like to blow bitches up. I love that it ends with his arms splatting on the table. Like, we gotta have a comedy ending. It's so funny. It is hilarious. I was laughing hysterically. I love this fucking franchise, man. I love it. Even when it's not that good, it's great. It is great.
They're having fun. They're for sure having
fun.
I'm
having a blast. And that leads us to our age-old question. How could this movie be gayer? And like, this is a pretty fucking straight movie.
Well, here's my argument.
Pride Month, but we can do it. We can do it.
Here's my argument. We established in the first Final Destination that Clear is a maximalist bisexual. And the maximalist part doesn't so much hold true in this one, but I think she has a pretty clear connection with Eugene for some reason. Like, I don't know what that was based on, but I did notice like the chemistry between the actors in the apartment scene at the cop's place, like way before she even was like, I want to go in the ambulance with him or whatever.
And she looked so happy when she thinks he's survived. Right. She opens the door. She's like, Eugene.
Yes. But there's also some stuff between her and Kimberly. If you ask me, what I was going to say earlier is, this is stupid, but I stand by it. She is drowned. She allegedly or presumably gets dragged back inside. Dr. Kalarjian is like, Clear, and then jumps her. So Clear saved her life. That's a little gay.
God damn it, also, Chelsea.
When Kimberly first goes to meet Clear in the hospital room, Clear's like, show me your nails, and they're short, which also is gay. You know, that's something you want to check for to see if a woman might be gay. There's a moment in the car where they hold hands. I think there was a little something there's an attraction at the very least. Why they were so angry at each other in the beginning.
Would Clear have come to their aid at all? You know, she knew she was going to die if she did that. It was for the love.
It's because she saw a cutie. She had to intervene.
We love her so much. Oh, my God. Yeah. Okay. I think that's good. I also get, a vibe from, I feel like Rory is bisexual.
Feel like, oh, yeah. Rory's, that's why he wanted to lick that other man so bad.
He was in like a sex harem in Paris having a bisexual twist. When he witnessed whatever the fuck get exploded by that sign, you know.
Also, Evan from the beginning, the motor hot rod guy in the apartment, he is gay as well, because there's all the ladies leaving their voicemails for him that he's not acknowledging, at all. And then there's like one guy who calls and says something about like, where's Rick? And he's like, fuck. He says something about Rick, who I can only assume is his ex-boyfriend who moved out.
Yeah, no, canon. And he's got a nipple ring, which could go either way. So Evan's gay.
Evan's gay.
Oh, yeah.
Such a beautiful fruity squad we had here. It's so nice.
We put it together for Pride Month. I mean, like, look, if they're not going to do the work, we'll do the work.
Oh, yeah, 100%. Also, I just want to give a little shout out to Eugene's facial hair. It's really nice. It's exciting. It's a type of mutton chop that is expensive looking, some would say. Sharp and spicy. And the funniest part of it is that I met someone with that exact same facial hair last week. And then I saw this movie and I was like, wow, this is where he got it from. He got it from Eugene.
He's a big Final Destination 2 fan. Mm-hmm. Good for him, I guess.
How should he be.
I saw that facial hair and I was like, okay, that's a choice. But it was 2003.
We love a fashion risk. Okay. He makes it work. Okay. Sure. Okay, that brings us to the age-old question, where would Matty Lily fit into this film? And anywhere, please. God, this is his renaissance.
Right. Again, once again. He would be so good in this movie.
Just, like, at any time, he could be any character. He could be a banging Rory. Oh, my God. He would slay as Rory.
Oh, he would slay as Rory. He could have been one of Kimberly's friends in the beginning in the car.
Could have been the lead one.
Yeah, the one who sees the titties. I think that could have been fun. He could be an orderly at the institution. He
Need him to have an exciting death. I need him to be.
No, oh, you want him to die.
He has to die. He has to die because he would die so funny.
Yeah. I would say, to me, Evan's death would be deserving of Matty Lily because it's like so extended, you know what I mean? And it's
he would
first
look great with a nipple ring.
Yes, he would.
Respectively,
I'm just being honest.
I don't know. I'm flustered with the subject of Matty Lily's nipples being in conversation. I don't know why.
This is not even sexual. I just think men should get more piercings and they always look good with them. This is something this is the hill I'll die on.
I would not be shocked if he has one.
I'm Googling.
Matty Lily
nipple piercing.
I am. okay. No immediate evidence. But you never know. Wait. I found a Tumblr post that suggests, I don't know if it's true because it's a list of headcanons for his character from, what's the one that's not SLC Punk? The other one?
Without a paddle.
Blonde hair and he's straight edge. He's got X's on his hands.
Oh,
his name is Tim LaFleur. Senseless. Okay. He's in a movie called Senseless where he may or may not have nipple piercings. It's a list of headcanons for that character and it says something about nipple piercings. I just don't know if he canonically has the nipple piercings in the movie or if that's also part of the made up thing.
I don't know.
We'll never, one day we'll find out.
With one, so he should play Evan. Yeah. There you go.
I'm just saying that there might be a source for you out there where you could see that for yourself.
I want to be respectful.
The mental picture is enough.
It's never too late. It's never too late, Matty Lily.
Sure.
Consider. I mean, I think that's the perfect spot for him. I would love that. He would play the cadaver of himself during that part where he lights on fire and he'd do a great job. He'd do a fantastic job. He's Evan. It's done. It's done. or Rory, because he would be funny getting cut in three pieces too. The dumb bitch of this movie, though, it's hard with the Final Destination movies, but I think that the dumb bitch is the son, Tim.
Yes.
Because he runs with open arms towards a group of pigeons. He's like, pigeons or death. Like, I choose pigeons and death, I guess. I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, I think a little bit The dumb bitch might be the writers of this movie because they got some facts wrong. I don't remember how many kids were supposed to have been on the flight in the first movie, but they said 4 teachers died in the Flight 180 explosion. And that is simply not correct because in the first Final Destination, we know there's only 2 teachers because they both get off the plane and then they have to be like, one of us has to go to Paris with the students. You get it back on. So we know there's only 2 because if there were 2 other adults on the plane, then they would both stay off. So somebody did not fact check.
These are easy questions. But I did.
They
could have just asked us and we could have told
them. Travel into the future when I have only just now seen this movie and ask me what the deal is, because I'll tell you. I'll tell you.
I really missed the mark there. Disappointing.
That said, they get a lot of other stuff and they've got so much on their minds. So that one was just an easy one, though. That should have been a no-brainer, I think. But they wanted to make it traumatic, I guess. So anyway, but yeah, I'm down for Tim to be the dumb bitch. I think that works just fine.
Yeah.
That works for me too.
It's just like, I don't, you're 15 years old, kid. Like, come on. Unacceptable. You had to get smooshed.
Maybe the hair sniffing guy in the elevator could get a nomination, but I do think witnessing that, yeah, that absolutely brutal death, that probably scarred him for life, you know? So, maybe. You know.
He's never going to learn not to sniff again.
Mm-hmm. He knows what happens when he sniffs. Hooks. Leads directly to a decapitation. So,
got to learn these lessons the hard way sometimes. Sure. All right. Well, that brings us to our knives out of 5. So, what do people think about Final Destination 2?
I don't remember what the numbers were for. Oh, actually, I have my notes right here. Let me check what the numbers were for the first Final Destination. Okay. So on IMDb. They're comparable because the first one got 6.7 out of 10 on IMDb and the second one got 6.2 out of 10. Notably, critics seem to like Final Destination 2 a little bit better than they liked Final Destination 1. They were being so bitchy about the first one, if you'll recall.
Yeah.
It got 35% rotten critics. This one got 48% rotten. So almost well, no, it's still like 12 points away from Fresh. You have to be 60% or higher for Fresh.
Almost halfway.
Yeah, sure. Audiences liked this one about the same, I guess. It's 58% rotten from audiences compared to the first one, which was 68% Fresh. So it's really interesting actually to see that critics liked this one more than they liked the first one. I think probably once they had accepted that actually this premise bangs, they were more willing to get on board. You know what I mean? They were still like, it's not great, but it's, we're not going to be so terrible about it. It's interesting to see that fan favor went a little down, but this movie, Final Destination 2, was nominated for a Best Action Sequence at the MTV Movie Awards. And for Choice Horror / Thriller at the Teen Choice Awards. It didn't win either of them, but it was nominated. The opening
scene?
Yeah, the collision in the beginning was what was nominated for the Best Action Sequence for the MTV Movie Awards.
As it should be.
No, fair, yeah.
Well, I mean, I feel like any series, book series, movie series, whatever, the second one always has like the biggest weight on its shoulders because like it has to like prove that it's worth it to continue this into a whole fucking goddamn franchise cinematic universe, and so there's always a lot of growing pains because usually like the first one would have been fine left alone and they have to do something, but for me, I really like this one. I had a lot of fun. I don't think it's quite as good as the first one because it doesn't have, as I said vaguely earlier, that je ne sais quoi. I can't really put my finger on it. I think it's a little too complicated. I was like, oh, Jesus, what is going on? Like, I like that they added the ripple effect thing. I thought that was smart and cool and a cool little twist, but it was like a lot to keep track of. And so that was a little... the harder for me. So I can't rate this one higher than I rate the first one. And I rated the first one a 4. So I'm going to give this one a 3.9, which makes me feel sad to even have it in the 3s. But like, I don't think it's on the same level as the first one, but God damn, I loved it. God damn, I love the practical effects. I laughed so many times when I saw people blow up. So great times were had by all.
Chelsea, do you know what I gave the first one? I do not remember.
Yeah, you gave it a 4. We all gave them all 4s.
Yeah. It was across the board.
I'm going to give this one a 4 too.
Good.
Here's the thing. The story in the first one was better, but the deaths in this one was better.
Very
like
fair.
I think very the story fair. Was slightly, you know, weaker. You know what I mean? Like it had a lot more plot holes and like didn't fully make sense. But I did like how they connected it to the first one. And I loved all of the deaths. Like this one, I had very strong feelings about, because like in my head, I don't know why, but I thought this one was like really bad.
I remember.
And then I watched it and I was like, this fucking movie is great. What was I thinking? And so maybe I was thinking about 4. I don't know. I don't remember that one either.
I'm thinking about 4.
I don't remember 4 or 5. Like I vaguely remember.
We'll
that.
Find out in a few months.
We're gonna see.
I think it's like on its way up to 3 and you're like, wow, it's getting better and better, and then it's like for the last 2, if I recall correctly.
I think 5 is fun. I think you guys will like 5. Okay. When we circle back to 5. I don't know, when I was watching this earlier, I was like, this is a 3 movie for sure. The deaths are really good, but I just didn't care about anyone, and I felt
like they don't get you to care.
Yeah, and like Clear has a lot of reasons to be really angry, but it also still felt really out of character for her after her personality in the first one as a character who had already been through a lot of trauma. You know what I mean? It felt
totally
like that was just a decision they made for plot reasons rather than a character-driven decision. And no shade to AJ Cook, but they also don't really give her any personality.
I agree.
Yeah. And like, also I really struggled to not just see her, as her Criminal Minds character, and like to see her as a youth in any way. I was like, that's an adult. She works for the FBI.
Have you not seen Virgin Suicides?
Is she in that movie?
Oh,
I've seen that movie, but
so long ago. Yeah. Yeah.
Is she one of the sisters?
Yeah.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
We'll have to do that movie at some point.
Iconic. Oh yeah, we totally could. Oh, that's awesome. Okay, continue. I'm so sorry.
That's so interesting. That's so interesting that she's in that. And I don't know. I must have watched that before I got into Criminal Minds, and then I just never made the connection. Anyway, but yeah, I think for me it was very much a 3. But now knowing that all of the practical effects are like how they did the deaths, that gets extra points. Like clearly they are doing some good thinking to try and differ. I think they did some fun experiments to be like, how can we make this different? There were some like dropped threads, some missed points. I do think the conspiracy theory guy should have been a larger part of things if they were going to use that to open the film. You know what I mean? But I would give it like a solid 3.5. They put in some really, really good work on this one, I think, for sure.
Okay. Fair. Man, I mean, I'm really loving that we're doing Final Destination Summer. I'm having a fucking blast. And just again, the perfect amount of time to wait between the first one and the second one. I got to miss it a little bit. Mm-hmm. Thank God we're not doing all of them in a row, or I would be just a mess, I think, because this concept fucks me up.
It'd be excruciating. It would be excruciating.
It would be physically painful. Like I've been doing this COVID horror movie marathon, and I was joking with one of our listeners that I should just watch all of the Friday the 13th movies in a row. Never. I will never do that. No, absolutely not. You wouldn't see me. I wouldn't come out the other end, you know. I would be lost in the midst. You can't do that to yourself. It's all about balance. And so to start off the month of July, and I'm sorry, I'm going to introduce this one, even though I just introduced Final Destination, because I think I'm the only one who's seen this movie. We're doing a movie that I've been wanting us to do for a really long time. It is fucked up. It is very exciting. It came out in 2002, which is just the year before this movie came out. And it is Eli Roth's K Cabin Fever. If you've seen this movie before, you know what Sydney and Chelsea are in for. I think Sydney, you saw it before, right? And you just don't remember what happened.
Yeah, I vaguely know what happens, and I do know that Sean Hunter from Boy Meets World is in this movie.
He and is. I do know that we will be spending the whole episode roasting Monica for not having watched Boy Meets World.
I don't feel shame. I just, you know, there's a lot of things I didn't watch when I was younger that everybody else did. I didn't get into Britney Spears until like way after everyone else because I had old parents. All right. And that's just what happens.
I just feel like an ABC Family show would have been right up your alley, though. You know what I mean? Like, right. It had some that's like daring topics, parents. But it was family friendly.
I don't know. We were too busy watching Seventh Heaven.
God.
I wish that wasn't true, but
same formula, family friendly, but someday she gave her friend Tylenol at school, Mary Cambridge or whatever her name, Camden. There you go.
But just do me a favor and don't look into this movie before you watch it. Just watch it.
Okay.
You know, I don't want that. Yeah. Don't, I just want you to go and also blind. Have a snack or something to soothe you. Cause I remember it being an experience. Anyway, so that's gonna be really fun. We have a really fun month of July planned for y'all, and we'll be back with more Final Destination with the piece de resistance Final Destination at the end of the month, so get ready. In the meantime, why not write us a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts that says Spooky Tuesday is my final destination? How about that? That sounds fun and could mean many things. I'm not sure what it means, but it could mean something good. It could mean that we're gonna kill you. There's no way to know, and you don't know. We could kill you, but we won't. I don't think we will.
Please write an obituary for me for when I die and the show can use it.
R.I.P. Kneebonk. Yeah,
R.I.P. that would be really great. If just take a look at the reviews first and see who else has written each one of our obituaries. So we don't want to double up, but we'll need three obituaries, one for each of us, just in case, in the form of a 5-star review. So take your time, but yeah, we expect to see that. Thank you. Also, while you're at it, why not follow us on social media at Spooky_Tuesday on TikTok, Twitter, and Instagram, and at Spooky Tuesday Pod on Facebook and Tumblr, and at Spooky Tuesday on Letterboxd. And oh my God, you know, we have one YouTube video on YouTube. You should subscribe and watch that one video, because who knows, any day now, there could be another one. But there could be, and that's the whole thing. And at the end of the day,
anticipation of it all, you know?
Anticipation. Thank you for listening. Bye, Spooky.
What the fuck are you thinking?
I'm thinking, suck on my junk, biatch.
Spooky Tuesday was created by Monica Height, Sydney Thompson, and Chelsea Duff, and edited by Sydney Thompson. Our gorgeously spooky tunes are all thanks to Tamra Simons, who you can follow on Instagram at Captain Tamra, and our podcast art is by Mary Murphy, who you can find on Instagram at the_moon_OMG.